It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a Raider invasion of Southern California. I repeat, this is a Raider invasion of Southern California. So we get the Chargers coming off a 5-12 year. I repeat, because the last time we played them, we put 63 on their ass. 63 on their ass. Do you know anybody on God's green earth? Do you know anybody who said, I'm going to the window and bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl? I don't. I know a lot of people.
If you combined all the Charger fans in Southern California, you can fit them in my pool.
JT the Brick.
You hear this crap? They're saying, oh, the Raiders have this. They don't have anything. But the Chargers do. And it's the same jerks who say, I love the Chargers roster. Every year. You idiot. You know nothing about the Raiders. The Chargers, America's new bandwagon, had 5 wins last year. Lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams.
I'm fighting off the Charger fans who think they're going to the Super Bowl.
And now,
63 on their ass.
Here's JT the Brick.
Wow, what is that? What is that, the Charger Open? Bobby with a brand new Open? I don't know, man. I'll tell you one thing. If we, the season ticket holders, do not beat the Chargers in the opening week, you got to delete that. Because that is a great new Open from Bobby. Welcome in, everybody. I'll say hello in a second. But Bobby puts together these new intros and opens, and he does a really good job with that. It takes work, it's sound bites, me ranting and all that, but that was just the Chargers. I didn't hear anything else. So we call that the Chargers Open. Let's make sure. Wow, that's going to run a lot this summer. And I, you know, from talking to Coach Pierce, he wants that game. He wants it badly. He told me it. So, well, I guess we're going to keep playing that. Welcome in, man. I hope everybody had a good weekend, man. I had a great weekend. It was fantastic. Double dipping today. Yesterday, I did 4 hours on Mad Dog. I got 3 tonight, 2 today. So, Sunday, Monday is my albatross, and then I'm blowing out of here tomorrow for a couple days for 4th of July. So quick week for me. Get in and get out and sound off like you got a pair. We got a lot to get to today in a limited amount of time. Locally here in Vegas, the Vegas Golden Knights are breaking down their roster. Jonathan Marchessault is gone. He won the Conn Smythe. He's going to Nashville. That is a devastating loss to a hockey team that's still a very young team, but that's a business. Logan Thompson, some of the other players that are gone. There's a lot of them. It's a new-look team. Chris Chapman will join us, Magnum, at the top of next hour, and we'll dive into some of the players that... look, this is a business. The Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. I'm happy. I'm not looking for them to win 6 Stanley Cups in 12 years. I got my VGK Cup as a fan. I'm good with it. But now they got to figure out what they're going to do going forward. NBA free agency is alive and well. I would greatly appreciate it if you would talk NBA with me today. I would greatly appreciate it. My mind needs to be focused on the NBA. I'm doing an entire show 3 hours from when after this show on one topic, NBA free agency and the United States men's soccer team in a must-win situation tonight. Those are big stories here. Sorry if you want to talk about Max Crosby's defensive end camp, which I think it's an interesting story because one thing popped out. That would be the biceps of Tyree Wilson. What the hell's going on with him? Anybody? The couple of guys who went there, I know, some of the insiders were there. Paul Gutierrez and Levi Edwards and others. What the hell's going on with Tyree Wilson? That guy looks like he is training for Mr. Olympia. Move him inside after the pictures I saw. Okay, I'm good now. That big, it's great to be on the outside. But if you want to move him in inside, he is a monster. Guys work out, man, a lot. And they put legal supplements into their body that are approved by the NFL and the team. Whatever the hell he's putting in his body, get some of it. Because he is a machine. And I couldn't believe the photos I saw. I'll talk about that in a little bit, and that's about it. Michelle Beadle will join us. She's my teammate on Sirius XM. We're going to talk to her about NBA free agency coming up. I'm live on YouTube. We're really starting to make this thing happen where you can watch the show, look at the show, and I think it's going to really take off for us when we go to Costa Mesa because we'll be in this process at Costa Mesa for you to see the show and to see what we're doing out there. And I'll be there a lot, and Q's going to be there a lot, and Vinny's going to be there a lot. So everything else out there is going to be looking pretty good. So that's going to jump on us pretty quick. And then Bobby and I met before the show as we're finalizing my list. This is not a Raider list. It's mine. For video only, the top 10 Raider games at all time, of all time. That starts July 8th. So we got July 4th. So that's 1 week. 1 week. So we got to finalize. We're trying to take one game that we have in the honorable mentions and maybe move it into the top 10 and remove a top 10 game and put it into honorable mentions. Again, my list, it was great. I thought we had our best programming last summer when we did the top Raiders team of all time, when we talked about the greatest players at every position. A lot of people like that. A lot of people ask me about that still. And we hope we're going to knock this one out of the park for you, too. So that comes up in a week. And then I'm going to unplug here for a few days, go see the Rolling Stones in Vancouver with my wife and another buddy of mine and his wife. And I'm going to see an area of the country I've never been to. I've been to a lot of cool places around the world. I've never been to Vancouver. So if you have any recommendations for Vancouver, you know me, I like a cold cerveza. I like looking at the city from the water. I like going to cool bars, nice restaurants. So I'll be there starting tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's all I got, and I'm excited to talk to you. Played golf last night. I want to get this story in quickly because I always have a clock in my head, Bobby, when I talk about my personal life. A clock goes off in 10 seconds. Some of these other shows do a whole show on what they did over the weekend and where they got Wi-Fi. Not me. I played golf last night at 5. I teed off at 5:20, got off the air at 5, teed off at 5:20 and finished at 8:13 p.m. Oh, my God, it was glorious. I was golfing in 107 that felt like 90. No one in front of me, no one behind me with my buddy. Had a great day with my buddy J.O.D. Beautiful, beautiful day. And, you know, playing in that heat, you don't think it's that hot because it doesn't feel that hot. When you finish 18, woo, it was hot last night and it's going to be hot the rest of the week. I got a couple of people in our live chat on YouTube that are sad that Klay Thompson now is gone. The deal still needs to be finalized, but as of now, it looks like Klay Thompson plans to join the Dallas Mavericks on a 3-year, $50 million contract with a player option for the final year, which means he's going to get it because he's not going to opt out of that money. The stupidity of opting. No one opts out unless they know they're going to get more. Klay's not going to get more. And this will be a sign-in trade, and I think it's very nice of the Warriors to do him the right way. This is very rare in sports. The Warriors are like, look, we love you, man. We can't keep you anymore. We decided to take Draymond, the podcaster, over you. And you can end your career that way in a city. What's wrong with that? You're not entitled to play your entire career in one city. Even the great Tim Brown had a cup of coffee with Tampa at the end of his career. Emmitt Smith played with the Arizona Cardinals. Jerry Rice with Seattle, Joe Montana in Kansas City. It's hard to be Derek Jeter. Hard to play with one team your entire career. It's very difficult. Larry Bird, right? You see some good ones. Kobe, when you look at the legends. So for Klay, and we got a big Bay Area fan base who's listening, call in on Klay. Today's a good day to say, hey, thanks, man, for the 4 rings and all the big shots and the great moments. I think that's what sports radio is all about. It's not low-hanging fruit. It's Klay Thompson. You Warrior fans are Raider fans. You Raider fans, a lot of you are Warrior fans. It's a big part of your life. Think of what Klay Thompson was able to do to make your life better as you were sitting at home watching a championship game or at Oracle at the time in Oakland, or you were at a sports bar with a Warrior shirt on, and the next thing you know, Klay knocks down a 3, and they win a game that leads them to a championship. It's a huge story today. An NBA free agency was supposed to be a dud, but it ended up being pretty good overall. And it started out with LeBron James opting out. He's going to opt in again with the Lakers. Rich Paul, the super agent, is doing a lot of deals now. He's doing big blockbuster deals left and right. He's the Scott Boras, who's the kingmaker of Major League Baseball. Rich Paul, who's the boyfriend of Adele, he's doing all these NBA deals. So as of today, free agent forward Nicholas Batum has agreed to a 2-year, $9.6 million contract to return to the Clippers. Clippers lose Paul George to Philadelphia. And he wanted an extra year on his contract, and he got it. I got to give the Clippers credit on not giving him a 4th year on his contract. I think the Clippers tried to negotiate with Paul George, and Paul George has agreed to sign a 4-year, $212 million max contract with Philly. That's a big deal. He'll play with Tyrese Maxey, who also signed for over $200 million, and Joel Embiid. So the talk was Bobby Celtics, who won the title and lost nobody. They got everybody coming back. But the Knicks got a lot better. The Knicks got a lot better with Mikal Bridges and re-signing Obi, their wing player, and a guy who can do it all, their best rebounder. So the Knicks were the team to talk about. And I thought they really match up well against the Celtics even before this. And the Knicks are much better. But all of a sudden, Philadelphia now has a big three, which is a big deal. And the Sixers guard Kelly Oubre has agreed to a two-year contract to stay with the franchise. So they're pretty loaded. The Mavericks forward Derek Jones Jr. and the Clippers have agreed to a three-year deal to make up for Paul George and a lot of these other deals that are going down. But Klay Thompson is by far the biggest one. Chris Paul will sign with the San Antonio Spurs for $11 million. Warriors walked away. Walked away with their option of $30 million. He gets $11. He had a deadline to his guarantee of $30 million for the season. Instead, he'll join the Spurs as an unrestricted free agent. Good for him. I think the Spurs need someone like him to get Wembanyama going. So this is NFL free agency. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a three-year, $66 million deal with the Mavericks. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's getting $66 million? Holy crap. What's going on here, everybody? Let me tell you my opinion. Here's what I think has happened now. The average player in the NBA is now making $30 to $60 million, scoring less than 10 points. That's the marketplace. The good player is signing for over $100 million. And the elite players, including Paul George, who's never won anything, are getting $200 million. Why is that? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody know? So this, I'm going to make you smart at the sports bar. The television revenue is so enormous that is coming in now. TNT's losing basketball with Barkley. Why are they losing basketball? Because ESPN is coming in with more money in ABC and NBC. So when the money goes up on these insanity television deals, you got to spend the money. The owners get a chunk of the pie, like 51%, which they should. They should get more than that, in my opinion. And the players get close to 50% and 49%. Happens in the NFL, happens in professional sports. Until this television bubble pops, the players in the NBA now are making ungodly money. Now, the difference between the NBA and the NFL is the NFL doesn't guarantee contracts. They don't guarantee it. So if you sign a three-year deal for $100 million, and remember, you're only playing 17 games, and let me remind all football fans, in those 17 games, the players are playing 30 minutes or less. And that doesn't include time in the huddle. When a running back runs up the middle for a gain of three, the clock's running, right? The wide receiver ain't playing. He's in the huddle and going back there. The clock tick, 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 tick. So these guys play 30 minutes a week, and they're getting X amount of dollars. If you take out the time where they're not playing, which is after a play ends, clock's running, they go back in the huddle. You got guys playing 20 minutes a week, maybe getting four targets or seven targets at tight end and wide receiver. Basketball, no, no, no. If you play 40 minutes a night, you're running up and down the court. NFL, you're not running up and down a court. You burst. You burst. You burst for 3 to 4 seconds. Then you go back to the huddle, and then you burst. Very physical. You get hurt more in the NFL than the NBA. But these NBA guys play a lot of minutes. A lot of minutes, and they're getting paid for it. The more people I talk to about the NBA are still in shock. First of all, a lot of them don't watch it anymore. A lot of them don't like the politics of NBA players. I don't care about that at all. That never crosses my mind. And the NBA players are global. Let's remember, in China, we don't think about this today. We don't think about this today when Maxi is going to play with Paul George. You know what they think about that? In China. Where there are billions of people, plural, and they watch the NBA. And they watch it in Europe. And they watch it. It's a global sport. And the money is flying in here. So I'd like to get your opinion at 702-365-9200. Do you think that this has ended properly for Klay Thompson? I do. Here's where I would have been uncomfortable with it. And I think Warrior fans would agree with me on this. It would have been uncomfortable if he went to the Lakers. because the Warrior fans despise the Lakers. And if Klay went there, even though his dad played there, Michael, and he's a broadcaster there, it just wouldn't look right. Now Klay can go to Dallas, out of sight, out of mind. Dallas is pretty good. They got Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic. They went to the NBA Finals, and they're adding Klay Thompson. So it's a good fit for him. And let me repeat this as of today, fact, not fiction. Klay went to a better team than the team he left. He played for a dynasty. The Warriors are no longer a dynasty. So now Klay plays for a better team than the Warriors for $50 million bucks in a player option. Win-win for Klay Thompson. And that's what you should get when you're loyal. Over the weekend, yesterday, Sunday, I did a lot of my show on Bronny James. Had a bunch of guests on, Bronny James being with the Lakers. We're not going to do that today. I just want to say the overall view that I got from talking to a lot of people, including you, on several broadcast platforms on this topic. You should be pulling for Bronny James because he suffered cardiac arrest and almost died, and you should want the kid to do well. If you're not, you're a disturbed individual. You are a disturbed human being if you can't root for Bronny James, who almost died playing basketball, to have a shot in the NBA. You might not love it. You might think there's nepotism and all of that, but look yourself in the mirror if you're rooting against this kid. This kid seems to be a fantastic kid. And is he getting a shot? Yeah, he's getting a shot. If he's not any good, he's not going to be able to play. All right, the other big storyline is the European soccer tournament. England won on an incredible, absolutely incredible 2 goals to come from behind. So England, the team I root for, is still alive.
Another long throw. Flicked on!
ESPN, Jude Bellingham, Fox on the call, one of the great goals in English history ever, to make that kick to save England. And that game, if they would have lost it to Slovakia, would have put him in the hall of shame. It would have been one of the worst losses in 50 years for England. Harry Kane, the guy I met on the sideline, I was the sideline reporter for the Raiders in London against the Bears, he had the game winner.
Palmer to swing one in. Dubravka again is good at reaching those, isn't he? As a player back in, Kane!
Yeah, Harry Kane scoring again on Fox. That's a big deal. The U.S. men's national team has got to play a really good game tonight. That game is at 5 Pacific, and this could be the beginning of the end again for U.S. soccer if they don't find a way to win this game. A lot of pressure on the United States of America. A tremendous amount of pressure, and they're playing that game at Arrowhead. So that's going to be pretty important, and it could have a lasting impact on American soccer. The group stage, and it's going to be big tonight. If you're looking to get out of the house, go to a sports bar here in Las Vegas or in the Bay Area or Los Angeles. I would highly recommend leaving your house, putting on something American, red, white, and blue, and finding a soccer bar and sit there with other soccer fans. It's really cool. It's nowhere near what they do in Europe and South America, but it's pretty cool if you can do that. I do that from time to time, and that's a lot of fun there. And then finally, I mentioned Tyree Wilson, as Max Crosby has this defensive end class, this sack group that he gets together with Von Miller. And Tyree Wilson was there, and he blew up the internet because he took a picture with his arms folded, and his arms looked bigger than his chest. And his chest looked like a barrel. And everybody that I'm talking to in Raider Nation, who knows the Raiders well, are saying this guy is taking the next step. Now, I don't know how good of a football player he is. I wouldn't have drafted him number 7 overall. Dave Ziegler did, and I got a lot of respect for Dave, like I do for Tom Telesco, and I do for Reggie McKenzie, who I saw a couple weeks ago at the Raiders. Great to connect with Reggie McKenzie again. And Mike Mayock had some good picks, too, along the way. But this kid now, and he's a young man, looks freakishly different. He has to get to the building when Max Crosby arrives, or closely there. Max beats everyone to the building. Max works out. Max is the driving force when it comes to conditioning for the Silver and Black. Well, this guy's, I got to talk to Max about it, and I'll reach out to him. I don't know what his schedule is, but Tyree Wilson looks like an animal now that I'm comfortable to see on the field. He's got to be on the field, everybody. He's a 7th pick overall. I don't see how he can be on the field a lot and beat out Malcolm Kuntz at one end. He's not going to beat out Christian Wilkins, and he's not going to beat out Max Crosby. And big John Jenkins is a good player, is just getting a little bit older. And I'm starting to think, and I'm not claiming I'm right. I don't. That's why I have a talk show. I give you a phone number that you use from time to time. Could this be Tyree Wilson moving inside to play defensive tackle and morph him into a Chester McLaughlin, morph him into a Darrell Russell, morph him in to a beast like a Russell Maryland, who was a great player? Warren Sapp was at this camp also. Good. Killa was there. Warren Sapp was arguably top four Mount Rushmore defensive tackle of all time with Aaron Donald and some of the greats. I don't know. I'm going to throw it out to you. There's no one around, man. It's like if I walk through the Raiders football, everyone's on vacation, man, taking the wives and kids, Disneyland, taking them to Cape Cod, taking them on boats, getting out of the country, Europe, man, let's go to Europe. No one's around. I'm around. Should have took more time off in June. I don't know why I didn't. I just missed. I live out of a calendar, and I didn't look at my calendar and say, let's just get out of here for a week or two. Everyone's gone, but we're pounding through. Don't need a medal for it. It's not hard. It's only 2 hours, but that's what's happening here today. I was telling you we got a big announcement coming up with a new partner, a game changer. And you know how long I've been doing this. Game changer partner coming up. We also added back Virgin Hotels. You're going to be hearing me talk about them a lot coming up here. And then Raiders training camp, it's kind of a work in progress as we were talking about this. Hey, one piece of sound I think is pretty cool. I saw Travis Kelce, who's pretty much only talked about now with Taylor Swift and going to Taylor Swift concerts. He was on Bussin' with the Boys, and he looked back at the Raiders' loss. Kansas City lost to the Raiders on Christmas. Listen to this.
We got our ass beat by the fucking Raiders on Christmas.
The Raiders.
Fucking ruined Christmas.
God.
Dude, Pace has got he had those dudes ready to brawl right there on the field.
They are kind of taking an old school Raiders mentality.
100%, man, and I love that shit. And I was like, man, if we play with that kind of edge or that kind of like toughness, that kind of like don't fuck with us mentality, like we won't be stopped.
Yeah.
And it just kind of it ended up like that. But that Raiders game was definitely one of the turning points for sure.
Wow. So here's what we knew about that. We knew that was the last game that Kansas City lost. And Kansas City shouldn't have won the Super Bowl. They had to go to Baltimore, you know, Buffalo. There were plenty of good teams in the AFC that was just as good as Kansas City. And the Raiders exposed Kansas City on Christmas Day to the point where they bullied them and exposed them. But what was interesting looking back on this, and Baltimore historically has always had a better defense than the Raiders in the modern era. I'm talking Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and beyond. They've always been better than the Raiders. Give me a break. The Raiders have been nowhere near Baltimore. But Baltimore should have took care of business against Kansas City. Because Kansas City was exposed by the Raiders. The Raider defense, led by Jack Jones and the rest of that team, pushed him around. I mean, Aiden O'Connell didn't have a completed pass in the second, third, and fourth quarter, and the Raiders won because of defense. Baltimore couldn't do anything about it on their home field. And the reason they couldn't do anything about it was Lamar Jackson couldn't stay on the field and pick up first down, so they kept giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes, and you're dead if you do that. What the Raiders were doing is they were getting Mahomes off the field. They were running the ball well, and they were finding a way to keep Mahomes on the sidelines and putting pressure on him. He got Travis Kelce's notice. So what happened in that game? What did Kelce just tell us about the Raiders? The Raiders did an unbelievable job punching them in the mouth, and it got the attention of Andy Reid in Kansas City. So they know that the Raiders did something to show the league how to play them going forward. Now, I don't believe in a lot of conspiracy theories. I'm not. And don't ever bring up 9/11 or anything that's serious to me. That drives me crazy. But I will believe in the conspiracy theory that Kansas City gets calls. They do. They get calls. The best teams play in the biggest games because they're the best teams, and they get calls because they're just playing in more games, right? The best teams play in more games because they're in the playoffs, and they play in the Super Bowl. And the Raiders were really rough and tough in that game, man. And the Raiders, and one of the big things Antonio Pierce did with his staff wrapping up last year was they were smart. They didn't have penalties, offense or defense. They played clean football, man, very clean football. I was surprised by that. You would have thought that Josh McDaniels in the Patriot way would have had the Raiders buttoned up a lot more to be a less penalized team. No, it was Antonio Pierce coming in with no head coaching experience, delegating to his other coaches on cleaning this team up. And let's make sure we don't take any dumb penalties. So that was a pretty good soundbite there from Kelsey. 702-365-9200. I get shut out in June. Now it's July. I'm shut out on this first show in July. I think everyone's on vacation under my YouTube followers. Appreciate that. If you want to get in on Tyree Wilson, Klay Thompson, NBA, and the biggest story today in Vegas is absolutely the dismantling of the Vegas Golden Knights, which if they bring in good players who are younger and cost-effective, I'm good with it. They got a lot of good players on this team. But, man, they got rid of a lot of good players. Wow. Chris Chapman will join us at the top of the hour. So let's talk about all those topics there, too. And if we can't talk NBA on this show, what the hell am I doing here? I really should just do a podcast, pre-record it, and go home. If we can't talk NBA on the day of NBA free agency, I don't know what the hell I'm doing in this studio. This is Vegas. We're trying to get an NBA team here, right? We're trying to get an NBA team here. Let's get some NBA talk going. I gave you Klay Thompson. Did Klay go out with the Warriors the right way? I think he did. He went to a better team, got more money, and he's going to play. I think that's a great move by Klay Thompson as we get going. The monologue brought to you by PTs. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. That's the best happy hour in town. Head on into any PTs. If you're a gamer, you love sports, you love food, always get great wings there, quesadillas, unbelievable finger foods, fantastic. Have a lot of our show meetings there at PT's all throughout the valley, and they own the Strat on top of that as we kick off this week.
You know, you try to stay off social media and you see rumblings and rumors and stuff. But no, I wasn't necessarily surprised. But yeah, so I'm happy to come back to Washington. Obviously, that's kind of where I think my pro career started. And I have a lot of good relationships out there, so I'm excited to come back.
That's Logan Thompson, the goalie, your Stanley Cup goalie for the Vegas Golden Knights, and he's gone. JT, back with you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to the DiCastroVerde Law Group, Alex and Orlando DiCastroVerde. The brothers win. The brothers have your back if you get into an accident and are injured. 702-222-9999. And we'll get you all set up with them. They are fantastic. Very quickly, as Vince Sapienza, who's an insider for us, and we have him on here every couple of weeks, he put together a list of who they've lost so far and what they're doing here and what's happening. And this is just pretty crazy. Vegas got Samsonov, NFL Network. Samsonov coming in from Toronto will be the Vegas goalie coming in. That's reported by NHL Network. Well, when you get used to players in a town, Bobby runs all the games, runs every game, pre- and post-game show. Marsh to show to Nashville, Alec Martinez to Chicago, Carrier to Carolina, Logan Thompson, who you just heard from, to Washington. Cotter to New Jersey. Mantha to Calgary. And Stevenson to Seattle. I mean, that's a lot of players here, and I give them credit. They're pretty good with chemistry. This front office has done a hell of a job building a Stanley Cup contender and a former Cup champion.
Well, I can see why they had to do all of this. I mean, I'm sorry to see Jonathan Marchessault go. He was one of the original misfits. Yeah. He's been here since the beginning. I really think it sucks that he had to go. I really would have liked to see him stay. Yeah. But when you've got contracts like Eichel and Stone, there isn't a whole hell of a lot you can do. And you've got guys like Marchessault, Riley Smith last year. They all wanted to make more money. Mm. That's just the way it goes.
Hey, look, you got to pay for stars. And the Vegas Golden Knights have had plenty of stars here over the years. They have. They hit the ground running in their inaugural expansion year with Marc-Andre Fleury. Mm-hmm. Then they made the big move for Mark Stone. But the original guys, William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, the misfits, as we call them, they weren't going to be here forever. So you get 6-7 years out of some of them, maybe 8. Total long term, that's pretty good in hockey years, I think. Vegas should be really proud for what they got from Jonathan Marchessault. Hell of a player. We've interviewed him a couple of times. I wish him nothing but success in Nashville. He deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the thing also that, I mean, after this season, we all knew that the number one priority was going to be goaltending.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't going to be Thompson and it's going to be Aiden Hill, they're going to have to spend the money to go out and get the big name, and that's what they did.
Yep, 702-365-9200. And now that Paul George has gone to Philadelphia to get back to the NBA, who would you put on that Mount Rushmore of ring chasers? Guys who are mercenaries will go anywhere for money or to chase rings. And I think on the top of the list is Kevin Durant, but to Durant's credit, Durant won two titles and two finals MVPs. So Durant did a really nice job overall doing that. Paul George, I would have him as a mercenary. He'll go anywhere where the money is. He hasn't won nothing. He's a mercenary, and he's going to Philadelphia. A lot of people go to Philadelphia thinking they're going to win, and they don't. And then where do you put LeBron James? A lot of people say Chris Paul, LeBron James. I think you got to put LeBron, and I like LeBron, but you got to put him on that ring-chasing list from going from Cleveland to Miami, you know, go to the Lakers. He's running around chasing, trying to win, but he seems like he's stable playing with his son now in Los Angeles. Thor is here in Summerlin as Tyree Wilson. Thor looks like he's been working out with you. What's going on with that guy? He's a big guy.
What's up, JT? He ain't been working out with me because I'm working out drinking beers. But so I'm glad he's working out properly. You know what? I'm really happy to hear that, man. First, I just want to say thank you to Clay, man, as a diehard Warrior fan. We love you, Clay, man, and I hope the best for you over there in Dallas. We appreciate everything you did my whole life growing up. I never thought we'd see a championship or even really to go deep in the playoffs, even though we had run TMC and teams like that that were decent. But to actually see it like a dynasty, like, that was incredible. Thank you, Clay. 37 points in one quarter. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things ever. The parades, all that. But Tyree, man, let's go. Let's go, Max. Mentor these kids, man. The defensive front should be the strong point of our team, period, right? That's the deepest, best part of our team. So if you got this young kid, I didn't want to give up on Tyree. He's a rookie. We need to give rookies a few years. Yeah, we probably drafted him too high, sure. But we got him. He was still going to be a first-round pick. So let's hope this comes to fruition with Christian Wilkinson and Max and the emergence of Malcolm Kuntz. And you get these hungry young cats in there just feeding off the energy that Max is bringing in there. And that, again, that helps the safeties, it helps the corners, it helps the linebackers, it helps everything. Pressure burst pipes. Let's go. I love it, man. Let's go. I'm fired up, man. I'm glad to hear it because we definitely didn't want to hear some nonsense about him coming in overweight and his arms being all floppy and didn't look like he did anything in the offseason.
Yep, so, thanks, Thor.
Positive. Let's go.
All right, thanks, Thor. This guy's a workout guy, Tyree Wilson. He's big. He's strong. The key becomes how many snaps does he get? I think he's one of the most important people on this team. The guys who are going to stay on the field are Robert Spillane, Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins. Malcolm Kuntz got more snaps the second half of the year. He deserves more snaps, right? Marcus Epps and Trayvon Merrig should not be coming off the field much. Isaiah Palamal I like a lot, and I'd like to get him in a nickel in situations. Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones should be on the field most of the time. They should. Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones should be on the field most of the time. Divine Diablo seems like someone, if he could stay healthy, you don't want to take him off the field. Divine Diablo can rush the passer. He can tackle. I mean, the Raiders aren't great at linebacker and pass coverage. They're not great. Okay, but they brought in Eichenberg, who's a pretty good player out of Ohio State. He could be a tackling machine. Remember, we had Greg Beekert out of Colorado, right? He was a tackling machine, captain of the defense. The question remains heading into training camp in a couple of weeks, who's going to play the second cornerback position? If it's not Jakorian Bennett, that's a concern for me because then they drafted him too high if they can't get him on the field and he can't play after starting last year. And hopefully he has a big turnaround. No one seems to know. No one knows. I mean, I can call Paul Gutierrez, Vinny Bonsignor, Vic Tafer right now. I'm giving them all a break. They're so kind to join me. every other week during the season. I don't bother him much in the regular season, off season. I want those guys to do their thing, and I greatly appreciate their time. But no one's going to be able to call in and tell me, well, you know, Jakorian Bennett is the de facto number two. No, no, he's not. No one knows. None of us. Even the guys who are embedded with the team. They got to prove themselves. We don't even know who's the starting quarterback. We think we know who's it going to be, but we don't. We've got to have a competition. There's only a couple of position groups up for competition. What's up for competition? Right tackle. Thayer Mumford seems to have that locked down. You know, you got a great player, I think, potentially great in Zeus. In Zamir White, he's the starter. Alexander Madison's the backup. Colt Miller at left. Right, we just brought in a stud from Oregon to play left guard. Re-signed Andre James at center. Dylan Parham's a good player. He's not going anywhere. He's going to start at right guard or left guard. So the offensive line is set, and there's pretty good depth. Then we're talking about the defensive line. Tyree Wilson, where do you put him, inside or outside? I'd like to see him on the field using his strength to bull rush. Because when he came in last year and when you saw him, it was kind of tough to watch him not get off the ball. They're snapping the ball, and he's the last guy to move. I mean, really, it was weird. And I'm sure he worked on that a bunch in the offseason, but he's got to get much better at that. And in the beginning, you know, of the season, if you put him in at defensive tackle next to Christian Wilkins and Jenkins is in a rotation with him, or Malcolm Kuntz, you put Tyree Wilson in on second down and bring in Kuntz on third down. Whatever you want to do, they're going to do. These coaches are paid to do that. But Tyree Wilson is a valuable commodity because they spent a seventh overall pick on him. Brock Bowers dropped to 13. Tyree Wilson went 7. Brock Bowers should have went 5, 6, 7. So that was a gift from God. I love that pick. Ruben in Vegas. How are you, Ruben? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good, JT. Really quick, thank you for the business card. My wife said you stopped my hair appointment on Friday. Mm-hmm. And they're at Boca Park. And dang, man, you guys got some thick business cards there. You should have autographed it for me, JT.
Yeah, we got some nice business cards, and good to see your wife. And really appreciate your support and everything you do for the show, and I told her that. Greatly appreciate what you do for our entire station, calling in and all that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I call in all the shows every morning. I'm a truck driver, so I listen all day on AM radio. Mm-hmm. But thank you for the card. But also with the Raiders, we got to stay out of trouble these next 2 weeks before training camp starts. He said that you kept on preaching that and preaching that and preaching that.
Yeah.
So let's stay out of trouble for these next 2 weeks, get this training camp going. And really quick on the NBA thing, mm-hmm. I'm a Spurs fan, silver and black. Also, with the Chris Paul thing, man, what do you think? He's a 20-year vet. He's going to go with Wimby. You know, what's your kind of take?
I didn't hear you. Say that one more time. I lost you for a second. You cut out.
Oh, the I'm a Spurs fan, silver and black all the way. What's up with the CP3 going with the Spurs?
Yeah.
You think it's a good thing? What do you think?
Yeah, keep listening. I got Michelle Beadle coming up. She's a national host along with me on Mad Dog Sports Radio, and she covers the Spurs. I'm going to ask her that. Chris Paul's at the very, very end of his career. He's not going to win a title. He's not. He's playing for money. $11 million. He's going to go play with Greg Popovich and Victor Wembanyama, and he's going to mentor Wembanyama. That's what happens at the end of your career. If you want to get to a good team, Chris Paul doesn't care about getting to a good team. He didn't get enough playing time with the Warriors. He'll get more playing time with San Antonio, and that was important to him. Just like this is important to Klay Thompson, for him to get playing time with the Dallas Mavericks. Can you imagine that Klay's in a game? He's in the Western Conference Finals, say, against Denver. And Luka's driving to the hole, and they kick it out to Klay for a three, and he knocks it down, and they win a game in the Western Conference Finals. It could be the difference between beating Denver, beating the Lakers, beating whoever there. I don't know who's going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I got a pretty good idea in the Eastern Conference semifinals. We're going to have the Boston Celtics, the Knicks, Philadelphia. I mean, the Knicks got a wake-up call. The Knicks were the big story for about 48 hours. 48 hours, and then Philly comes in, and Philly drops a bomb and gets Paul George and signs Maxey to that long-term deal. So that's a big deal. And the Celtics... Bobby's a Celtic fan. The big news today, this is a great story. Celtics are for sale. The Celtics are for sale. Weeks after winning a title, the Grosbeck team, the partner, and Steve Pagulia led the group that purchased the team. They bought him, Bobby, in 2002. How's this sound for an investment? They bought him in 2002 for $360 million. The Bucks were sold for $3.5 million, and the Mavericks, the Adelson family, Mrs. Adelson here, the widow of Sheldon Adelson, bought the Mavericks for $3.5 million. Reports are the Celtics are for sale for $5 billion. $5 billion, and he spent $360 million. Holy cow. If he spent $3 billion and sold it for $5 billion, that's a nice return. You spent $3 billion, you made $2 billion after taxes and fees. You know, you make $1.2 billion. Selling it for $5 billion. And they're going to get that, Bobby. As you know, the Celtics are going to get that number.
Easily, they're going to get that number. But when I sit back and I think about $5 billion, what do you think the Cowboys are going to get?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I've heard 10. Yeah. Now we're looking at, like, what, 12?
Well, look at the Raiders' valuation since the Raiders moved to Vegas. And if the Raiders stayed in Oakland, they would have been worth money, but nowhere near what they're worth in Vegas. And for everybody who asked me about my friendship and working with Mark Davis and knowing him as long as I have, I don't think I've ever once in my life talked business and net worth, nor would I ever, with Mark Davis. Mark Davis's income and his lifestyle have changed a little bit, but you wouldn't know. If Mark Davis walked into 8 Cigar Lounge, or he walked into a private function for a charity, or he walked into P.F. Chang's or One Steakhouse or wherever he goes, he's the most down-to-earth guy you could ever meet. And the franchise has exploded in valuation now, where they can stand side by side with Real Madrid, Manchester United, and some of the biggest teams in all of sports. That had to do with the vision. And remember, no one wanted to leave Oakland. I always say this. No one wanted to leave Oakland. That dirty lease deal up there, mess, politicians, wackos. Politicians up there, you see them now? Wackos. I don't talk politics on this show. Presidential debate, you didn't hear one thing from me. Who won the debate? Nothing. I don't use that on radio. Up in Oakland, those politicians are whack jobs. I mean, they're nutcases. They're like wackos. And what do you think they're sitting around now going, what are the Raiders worth? Really? No. They're worth how many more billions with a B? It was right there for Oakland. Bigger market. Great weather right there. And the reason why the Las Vegas Raiders were born, and it was very complex, and I know the backstory as good as anyone, from Napoleon McCallum to Mark Davis to Mark Bedane to everybody behind the scenes who worked there, all the people that worked there, people come and go. They did an amazing job. And then Governor Sandoval, the mayor, Carolyn Goodman, everybody who worked here, county commissioners, please come, Raiders. Please come. It'll work here. Tommy White, 872 laborers. We'll build this thing on time and on budget. Everything. It's going to be looked at for years to come as a defining moment in NFL history. Not Raider history. Not Vegas history. NFL history. As the Las Vegas Raiders were born because of the ineptness of the Oakland politicians who literally couldn't carry on a conversation with me and you if we were having a burger in Jack London Square.
Judge drives it. Center field. Kiermaier back onto the track. Gives it a look at the wall. It is gone. Goodbye. It's 2-0 Bombers.
All rise for the Judge. One of the greatest Junes in the history of baseball. You want to give Ohtani the MVP? Well, he's in the National League. Judge has got it in the American League. JT, back with you. I was just telling our group here on YouTube, and this is why I want you to subscribe to this YouTube, JT the Brick YT. We talk during the breaks and come back here, and I was telling everybody how difficult it is that we got to come up with the top 10 Raider games of all time, because there's a lot of honorable mention games. So when you look at Sea of Hands, Red Right 88, the Holy Roller was a great play. It wasn't a great legendary game. The Holy Roller was the last play of the game, when Stabler threw the ball forward in San Diego and Casper fell on it. That's not a Super Bowl or playoff or AFC championship game, but it's a great moment. And we're gonna cover that game. Some of the other games that were really interesting, November 11th, 2002, Raiders beating Denver, the Broncos. There's some Monday night games mixed in here, the Bo Jackson game against Bosworth. But we got to find the top 10. And it's not easy, man. It's not easy because I'm looking through these games. September 11th, 2016, Raiders 35, Saints 34. Raiders rally to beat the Saints in the regular season opener, set the tone for the playoffs. Jack Del Rio, do or die, two-point conversion. The gamble set the tone for Jack Del Rio for a 12-4 team. That's a monster game. Top 10? Probably not. And we definitely have to consider games played in Vegas. Now, that's what's going to alienate some people. They're going to say, how do you put a game in Vegas when they haven't won a playoff game? Well, that Charger game was massive. That knocked the Chargers out. Will that get into our top 10? Again, this is not official to the Raiders. It's our show. It's a fun little summer thing we do. We'd be lying to you if we said not to kill some time. No, we don't kill time. We want to do some entertaining radio and engage you fans. So what I'd like to get from you, if you can get in the chat or hit me up on Twitter, is a couple of sleeper games over your life, Raider games in your lifetime, that you believe deserve credit to be in the top 10 games. Not Captain Obvious stuff, Super Bowl 11, 15, 18, 67 championship game. But the rules are pretty simple. It's a game, not a play, not a moment. It's a game that you consider one of the top 10 or maybe in the top 15 because we're going to have some honorable mentions. Thanks to our YouTube audience, one more hour to go. Michelle Beadle from SiriusXM on NBA Free Agency and Magnum, Chris Chapman, will join us on the Vegas Golden Knights next.